Please rise in body and spirit for the call to worship. Faith calls you to church today.
Hear your understanding to Jesus.
Hear hearts open to hope.
Hear true strength gets unleashed.
God's power is beyond all rule, authority, and dominion. God's name is above every name, not only in this age, but also in the age to come.
Hallelujah.
Church is God's arena for wonder.
So this tune might be less familiar to you. So if you're able to follow a tune without a bucket, 108. You might want to open it and follow. This is one of those more mysterious carols, or this one's more of an Advent song. So week by week, you'll catch on to the tune. So just want to give you a heads up on that one.
We are worthy, so let's live worthy lives.
I am worthy, so I know God's gifts of healing is meant for me.
You matter, so don't disappear or believe that your offer lacks love.
Value. I matter, and the Spirit's work in me makes a difference, not only in my life, but the lives of others.
So take in God's fresh healing. Practice humility, patience, and peace. Don't get sucked into nonsense and speak the truth in love.
In this way, we grow up spiritually. We become the likeness of Christ.
Let us become the church the world cries out for. In song and in silence, God's heavenly forces come to our aid and summon us to our call.
Thank you.
Christ is the image of the invisible God.
In Christ all things are created.
Christ is before all things and holds all things together.
Christ is our source and need.
In Christ all the fullness of God dwells.
Through Christ God reconciles all things, including us.
We are forgiven, filled with the fullness of God, and free to practice healing love in the world. Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pass the peace of Christ with one another.
Okay, time for discover. I mean, passing the peace could go on and on today, but let's pivot to that time in worship we know as time for discovery. And anybody who wishes can stay right where they are. Was Kay doing something mean to me? Because I didn't, you know, call her out or anything. And that won't be on the record because, yeah. Except, yeah. Yeah, we're not doing the visuals. You can be as naughty as you like, Kay, visually. And then I won't repeat what you did just in case. I know it's not, yeah, won't be as much fun. So I'll just have to, yeah. All right, so you can stay right where you are for time for discovery today. So, yeah, it's the season. And I wondered if you all could help me come up with 10 things that you're going to dig. You're going to have to dig, discovery. 10 things that are invisible, that are God's gifts to us. Okay, think about it. 10 things that are invisible that are God's gifts to us. And I got some wrapping paper here. I'll put it on the communion table. Let's start here. So raise your hand and what do you got? Love. Okay. Wait, I gotta have my hands free for this one. Okay, so there's love. All right.
Air.
Well, yeah, Mr. Science there. Mr. Science. Okay, yes. Steve.
Grace.
You brown noser. Yep. Forgiveness, Helene. Oh, snap. Oh, snap. Yes, as your shirt says. Okay. Yes, Sue.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Faith.
Faith, Deb says.
Our loved ones who've passed.
Our loved ones who've passed. So, yeah, it's physically, it's, you know, it's still there. Okay. You guys, you're still rolling. I think we're not up to 10, too. So, okay. You falling off? You slacking off this morning? Slackers.
No.
Health, okay. Well, that's kind of sort of more on the visible scale, okay. Peace, where? In our hearts, okay. Maybe I'll give you 2 points for that one. What's that?
Down
in our hearts today. It sounds like a song. Okay, Phyllis Carter.
Hope.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Forgiveness.
Yeah, we need lots of that one, okay.
Joy.
Helene said 2 things, kids, children. Somebody's. Yeah. Okay, what else? Anything else? Oh.
Memories.
Wow, do not minimize that invisible thing. Good memories.
Happiness.
Hello. We could have a whole thing on what is happiness, couldn't we?
We could have a whole thing on that. That sounds like a sermon. Anything else? Hope. That's a good one. That makes a huge difference psychologically, communally.
God's self.
Okay. Humor. Gail got one.
Favor.
Yeah, favor. That's a combination of a whole bunch of things. Anything else? Yep.
Acceptance.
You belong. You're part of a household.
Music.
Brown noser for those people. Okay. Grace. I heard grace, but it's, I like this paper, though. Belief. That's an invisible gift. That's given to us. Sometimes it's hard for us to conjure it. Assurance of heaven. Trying to get some varieties out here. Oh, yawning. No. Sleep. Just kidding. I'm not shaming anybody today. Anything else? That's great. Oh, okay. Now, what are 10 gifts that are invisible that you give to somebody else? So, gifts. Okay. You're talking about God gives gifts to us. Now, what are gifts that you give to somebody else?
Love.
Okay. Stephania? Respect. Oh, take that one in. Forgiveness again. Support. Oh, that's a beautiful one. Friendship. Charity. Meaning? Yeah, help other people. A physical sign. That might not be so invisible. But yeah, we care about other people. Right? Other than ourselves. Prayer. You are on a roll today. Oh my golly. Jehoshaphat, you are like a snowplow this morning. Okay. Service. Okay, he's getting up to you. Okay. Anything else? Invisible things that you give other people. Yep.
Assistance.
Whoa. So much in this box of giving. Okay. Yeah.
Memories.
That's, yeah. That works both ways, doesn't it? Yep. Acceptance of others who are not your own religion. How about if someone is theoretically of a different political party? Could you accept that person, maybe? You heard it here. Discovery is changing the world day by day. Okay. Please, Jesus, help us out. Okay.
Gift of music.
Mm-hmm. Compassion. Oh, that's a beautiful word. That we can give other people. Okay, yep.
Talent.
Sharing that talent. Yeah, you don't keep it to yourself. Laughter. Phyllis B. Tolerance.
Time.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay, now can you name 10 invisible gifts that make your day better? Whether you're at home, you're at work, or you're at school. What are 10 invisible gifts that make your day a better day? Okay. Let's hear about your day, Hannah. That's a sermon. Respect, says the school teacher. Okay. Patience.
Laughter.
Prayer.
Silence.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. We can talk later about that one. The silence is a gift. It really is, you guys. You modern people with your stuff in your ears. You're watching TV. Silence is a gift. Okay.
Empathy.
Oh, we're coming up with some good words today. Phyllis C.
Sunshine
makes it. Is that invisible? Oh, wow. We'll see. Those rays. Those invisible rays. Anything else that makes your day better that's invisible?
Relationships. Oh, my gosh. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers about that one. So, we people in the United States, invisible. Just because it's invisible does not mean it does not exist. Invisible is real, and these real gifts probably make the biggest difference in your lives. So now let's listen for the scripture lesson today, which points to some invisible gifts that God gives us. So if you want to read along, it's Ephesians. Are you going to announce the text? You were debating. Are you going to announce it?
Okay. This is from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, and then 16 through 21. This is so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known. I pray that according to the riches of God's glory, God might grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's do a listen repeat prayer. Dear God, thank you for all the invisible gifts. Help us receive them. Help us give them away. In Christ's name. Amen. All right. Ephesians is such a great part of the Bible. You'd hang out in Ephesians for a long time and soak up its richness, especially the first four chapters are just so rich. Certain verses just have so much going on about who God is, what God's up to, who Christ is, what the Holy Spirit's plan is. And then also, it's not just heavenly things, it's us. What the plan is for human beings. So really great texts for any time of the year, and it's really rich to be studying them here in the season of Advent. Well, I think probably every single Advent, at some point, I talk about consumerism. I think it's a great thing that, you know, especially Presbyterian pastors like to beat up on consumerism. And often, you know, the great week to beat up on consumerism is Advent 1, especially when Advent 1 lands 2 days after what? Not this year, but usually. Black Friday. So usually, yeah, Black Friday. So it's just like, yeah, you just see it coming every year, Discovery. Or if you're at a Presbyterian church, it's like, ugh, it's Advent, it's blah, blah, blah. You know, get ready for the pastor to go after consumerism. So let's talk a little bit about that. So consumerism, and it's, I would say, in the U.S., right? It's not everywhere in the world that we have to talk about this. It's particularly here. So in talking about consumerism, right here, you know, in the good old U.S., you know, we start with the fact that, yes, we are human. We are physical beings, and we have physical needs. You know, we do need food. We do need clothing in most parts of the U.S., right, most parts, for more reasons than one, and shelter. And these are basic things we need. And you know what? If we do have some basic health and some basic money, life is a lot better. In some sense, you know, in some instances, even possible. We just need those things. We're physical beings. We have physical needs. So that is, hello, a reality. So I'm not going to bash the reality of physical needs.
But then what happens in a culture like ours? These needs for many people, and not all, and that is a concern of ours as followers of Jesus Christ. But for those for whom those needs are met, if we have a little excess, it's like, well, why not? You know, we could eat a little more, we could take in a little more, we could go for a bigger garage. You know, it just goes on. And that's, I'm not bashing that. That's just the reality of economics. You know, that people are in different places and society rewards different vocations and experiences in different ways. And that's okay. That's okay. But what can happen with this thing that is basic and then kind of say, kind of more comfortable, is that we can get sucked into thinking that that's all there is, and we can also slide into being insatiable. Once you have this, maybe I'll have a little more. Maybe I'll have a little more. And, you know, in economics, there is a law of diminishing returns. And I'd say in spiritual worlds, definitely very much a diminishing return on. Although maybe there's an addiction there in consumerism that makes us feel good. Oh, I got more. Oh, look at this. I'm moving up the ladder. Or, oh, look at my house. Or, oh, I did this. Or my clothes. Or, I don't know, whatever. Appearances, vehicle, fill in the blank. And, yeah, you know, we can get a little boost out of that. And I'm not bashing feeling good about who you are and appearances and getting the tools you need to live the life that you're called to live. No harm, no foul. But I do just want to sound a cautionary note, because I am a Presbyterian pastor and we are Presbyterians and we are very skeptical of idolatry and stuff, because you can get sucked into it and think that that's where happiness lies. Oh, who brought up the word happiness? Was it Alicia? Yeah. We associate that with happiness. You know, I was going to give myself homework this week to watch television, commercial television, for 1 hour and just see what the commercials are, because it's just always fascinating this time of year. So I didn't have time to do that. I mean, I watched part of a football game, but and the commercials are kind of the same. Why does everybody think that we give cars this time of year? Oh, good, Jim Leonard's not here. He would be mad at me for saying that. But seriously, I mean, is this your norm, people of Discovery? People of South, do you guys exchange cars with each other? Not in my world that this happens. Oh, it's Christmas. I think I'll buy a car for my, how about two, you know? Oh, and then jewelry. I have high expectations, Mr. Dickinson, for jewelry. Under the tree or Christmas morning, whatever. It can fit in a little stocking. I mean, really? I mean, I know, again, I'm sort of mocking it, aren't I? But I'm a Presbyterian pastor, and you pay me to mock rampant consumerism. Because we're Presbyterians. We don't worship in a cathedral. I mean, we have a beautiful building. We are so fortunate. We have shelter here from the storms. Thank God for snow plows, you know. But excess, let's make fun of excess, okay? I think that's in bounds to make fun of excess, because it's just so foolish. And then we are foolish if we have envy for the rich, because money can't buy. It's not just something you say. It's so true. It's so true. In fact, money can isolate you. It creates a falsehood. Oh, my gosh. And it can lead to a terrible thing called depression. Thinking that this is how problems get solved. So, yeah, it's an illness. It's an illness that we swim in. And part of our culture, and I would even say within the Christian part of our culture, was that, oh, I have so many blessings. I have so many blessings. Yikes. You know, yikes. Yes, part of blessing, food, clothing, shelter, health, enough money to get by. Yeah.
But to kind of associate blessing with the physical world, oh, careful, thin ice. Yes, but be careful. Be careful. It's interesting in our reading today from Ephesians. The writer of Ephesians is praying for a congregation in Ephesus, which is modern-day Turkey. And in this prayer for those real people that were living in that area, and it could have been a letter that got shared among a bunch of churches in Asia Minor. In that prayer, I just found it fascinating that the prayer, this deep prayer for that church was not, oh gosh, I hope you guys, you know, I hope you have enough food, clothing, and shelter. How's your health? I hope that you get richer and richer. Oh, that's the other ad, banks. Investment companies. Yeah, insurance. All right, Cher, what do you guys? What? E-Trade. Who's been watching TV? Okay, what do you see ads for? I hope you find a really good investment company, really good one. And, you know, I hope your retirement funds roll over in just remarkable ways. What else do you see in the ads? Oh, yeah, beautiful families. Beautiful families. Okay, yeah. Okay, Medicare supplements. Oh, pharmaceuticals. Oh, my goodness. Take this, you'll feel better. Although it could kill you, too. Please read the small print. So, admission here. So when I was back home for Thanksgiving, I did watch a little commercial television, like one of those morning TV shows, and, you know, before the parade and whatnot. And there were some really good ads. I was like, wow, this is like Super Bowl level. Just really awesome marketing. I mean, I like to watch that just to kind of get ideas for how are they tugging at the heartstrings, or how are they packaging things, or how are they using humor to get us to watch or have certain values and things like that. So, okay, admission. There was a Dick's Sporting Goods commercial about a ping pong table. Did anybody see that? It made me cry. I'm serious. I got all choked up. I got teary. Just like, where are they going with this commercial? I mean, I hate to spoil it for you because it was so good. And then later on, I was telling Jeff about it, and I got teary. What's that? I think I need a ping pong table. But, right. It's the memories, the family, that across, you know. Anyway, so, but then it gets at marketing an ideology around consumerism that yes, stuff can make us happy. You know, I'm not in denial of that. Maybe I'm a little jealous or I feel a little challenged. How do we market the true ideology of the richness of God? And I think that's the challenge of our time as church. And how in heaven's name did we lose that? I mean, we have the best, quote, stuff there is. We have the best gifts there are. Now, thinking about church, you know, is church a store? You know, is church, you know, is it the Mart? Is church Amazon? I'm going to go big, you know. Church is God's Amazon. And I just think, how do we as this church or any church, but I'm always interested in our church in particular, you know, how are we the Amazon, the gateway to good news, the richness of God? And, you know, just having a little confidence, having a little faith, having a little savviness about all that we are given. And it's so awesome. And it's not like, oh, church, that marginalized backwards place. It's like, no, church, we have something to offer, the real thing, to the world. And not because we're superior Christians that look down on others. No. It's because we are so flooded with the abundance of God. Oh, so blessed. So blessed. Ephesians prayer says, I pray for you that you would have inner strength of the Spirit. I pray for you that you would have a heart full of Christ. I pray for you that you, oh yeah, you would comprehend, your brain cells would comprehend the length, the breadth, the height, the depths of love, which is actually incomprehensible, it says in the next verse. You have to comprehend the incomprehensible. Poof. I mean, that's invisible, beyond like mind-blowing, cosmic, you know, whatever, love. That's what we're given. That's what church is a steward of. That's what you receive as Christians. Don't be in doubt about that. It's pretty awesome. So, wow, this Advent season, let's take it in. Let's soak it up. Let's share it with other people, the real invisible gifts of God that change you and make you joyful. How about joy as an invisible gift? Take it in. Be transformed. This is the season of wonder. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to invite you now to Christ's table, where you can hog out, be a consumer of Jesus Christ and his richness and his love and his glory, his acceptance, and the way he transforms you into something better than you ever imagined. Consume this, people of God. Consume this. It's also striking when you come to Christ's table, you know, it's not just that we are consumers. We are vessels. We are hosts, hosts of heaven. And that ties into our theme of being a heavenly host. We can host heaven. Oh, I love the bulletin cover. It says, filled entirely with the fullness of God. Filled entirely. We are hosts. We host heaven. That's part of the mystery of the sacrament of communion. Everyone is welcome at this table. That is our tradition as Presbyterians and as Discovery. Everyone can take of the bread and the cup. So today we have a wonderful communion element of Christmas cookies shaped like stars to remind us of the heavenly host. And it is grape juice. So at this time, we can share brief prayers of joy and help. And maybe we'll kind of do it in random order here today. So, you know, some of you maybe saw in the newsletter already, Dean Limpack passed away. So, we're celebrating her life this week, Wednesday, 11 o'clock. So thank you, Lord, for Dean's life. And we do pray for her sons and her loved ones. Lord, in your mercy. And then with that, oh, I get a little teary thinking about this. So we had seen it coming, Discovery. We had two people, Adeen and also Nova. We knew they were in hospice care, and Nova passed away overnight last night. So just found out this morning. So Nova's service will be here on Thursday. So unconfirmed time. So it's just very, very fresh news. So these are very dear people to us. And we give thanks to God for their lives. And we pray for their loved ones. And we pray for all who grieve today. We give thanks for the life of our president, former President George H.W. Bush, and his long life of service today. And prayers for his family in their time of loss. Let's see. We pray for all the families associated with our angel tree. And let us pray the prayer Christ taught us together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The night that Jesus was betrayed,
He took bread and he broke it with his disciples and he gave thanks. He gave thanks on the worst night of his life. He gave thanks because he was full of the richness of God. And with that breaking of bread, he said, "This is my body that I break for you. This is my joy to give all of you to symbolize that I am with you." And I hope you remember that when the bread is broken. Jesus took the cup that night too and said, "This cup is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. You have received the fullness of God." What a gift that is. So go now and you're going to share that fullness in a life, a world that cries out for this. You are clothed in Christ's likeness, so be imitators of God. Let no evil come out of your mouths. Show the world that church has changed you and take your calling in Christ seriously and responsibly. Grace is kindled in us. We have work to do.